What is up, Z Pack? It's your boy Z Dog MD. Check it out. I'm live and direct from Z Studios. I've been on the road a lot of this week doing talks. It's been chaotic, but I'm back, son. And the crew is not here today because it's Saturday and I'm rolling like the lone dog. You know what I'm saying? With the mange and all that. So, first of all, I want you all to tell me there's been a problem with Facebook lately when I use my phone like I am now. A lot of times it won't stream. So if you have a problem streaming, you need to hit me right away, yo. Malik Saad says, smile. I'm smiling, son. This is legit right here. I'm smiling. Anyway, so what I want to talk about today is something very important. Paul Dacquino just left the hospital and he ain't going back. It's Australia, son. I want to talk about the weekend effect. Since it's Saturday, the weekend effect at Z-Dog Industries means that Tom and Logan are particularly millennially lazy and aren't here. Actually, we planned it this way. But in the hospital, what happens? Ann Reeb, I do have plumbing. The plumbing is finally fixed. Mrs. Dog is finally back. We're back sleeping in the bedroom. The dust is cleared. So we can move on.org. You know what I'm saying? And also, I'm broke. So I need your help, people. I'm going to hold out the tin can in a second. The weekend effect in the hospital can be summarized as this. Patients have worse outcomes on the weekends. So this is the hypothesis. The reason being, there are less elective procedures on the weekends. There are less staff on the weekends because it's more expensive to have staff working on the weekends on a 7-day schedule. And so the theory goes that patients have worse outcomes if they are admitted to the, if they are unlucky enough to get sick on a weekend. Now, here's the question. Trisha Villain is in the ED today, so she can tell us whether the weekend effect is true. I'm reading these comments, and I'm going to give a shout-out to cardiac nurses Becky Fannin. The question is the effect true? Now, this came to the head last year when the National Health Service in Great Britain was thrown into turmoil when Secretary for Health or Secretary of Health or some – who knows how the Brits work, yo? I'm not British. Okay? I'm American-ish. I'm slightly off-white American. What had happened was Jeremy Hunt had said, look, there's this weekend effect where patients have worse care on the weekend. Therefore, we should compel our junior doctors, aka residents, interns, etc., to work more hours on the weekends. And so there was this massive contract sort of conflict, and it made worldwide news, and the junior doctors went on strike, and actually all kinds of chaos. And the question is the effect even real? Now, the British Medical Journal, in May of 2016, exactly a year ago, published an article that I posted, or published an editorial based on some papers that I posted earlier on Facebook. And the title of this is The Weekend Effect. Now you see it, now you don't. Now listen, guys, first of all, let's understand how science works. First, you develop a hypothesis based on either empirical evidence. In other words, you see something happening and then you go, you know what? I'm going to test and see if this is really true. If the effect that I'm seeing empirically and I'm observing actually pans out statistically when you measure it under controlled conditions, right? Or you have a theory based on first principles that something should happen based on some rationale, some mechanism of action, and then you set out to measure it. That's how good science works. Now, in this case, they said, okay, the weekend effect. It seems to make sense that if you're understaffed on the weekend, and everybody who works in healthcare often gets this sense at some point. As a hospitalist, I get the sense all the time. You work weekends, and it's a different world. It's very similar to working nights in some ways, right? It's a skeleton crew. A lot of the specialists are gone. There's a different type of camaraderie feeling because it's the kind of the weekend staff. Same with holidays. And for real, there's less stuff going on because there's less elective procedures, less sort of scheduled stuff. And clinic is not in session usually. So you don't have all the outpatient clinics, primary care, specialty clinics. And if you're a hospitalist, that means technically, you could get less direct admissions and more admissions through the emergency department because they can't see their PCP or their regular rheumatologist or their oncologist, so they go to the emergency department. So it's a very different vibe empirically in the hospital on the weekends. Now, if you're a patient watching this, you might wonder, holy crap, like what does that mean for me? Like, should I not go in on the weekends? Well, we don't often have a choice for when we go in, although even that may be tricky. So we're going to get to that. So what the British Medical Journal said is, okay, let's look at this weekend effect from a scientific perspective and see, is it explained with the data that we've seen so far? And this is what happened. Because there was this political thing with Jeremy Hunt and the junior doctors, and it was a big blow up, right? And he had all kinds of There was all kinds of drama that I won't get into this time, although I got solidarity from my junior docs in England. Don't get me wrong, because y'all are my peeps, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, anytime a politician or a bureaucrat tells y'all what to do, I'm like, Although you got the socialized medicine, so, you know, you get what you pay for. And you paid for hella taxes to get that, so now they're trying to tell you what to do. But that's another conversation. So all this being said, what the British Medical Journal said is, okay, look, let's look at the studies and see, is this a real effect, or is there some data artifact or some other reason to explain the weekend effect? Now, you got to understand, there has been previous studies around the world, America, Australia, Great Britain, really purporting that the weekend effect is real. For example, there was a study one of the Z-Packers posted earlier about aortic dissection, and that's a big deal. You have an aortic dissection, you better hope there's a great cardiothoracic surgeon, the ER is fully staffed, the nurses are fully staffed, the ORs are ready to go, and that the blood bank is fired up, because it's going to get real. And what they found is there was worse mortality on the weekend. And there were some problems with that data as well, which I won't get into this time because they're complex. But the bottom line is, if it were true, it's something like 1,500 more patients would die if they were admitted on the weekend out of a population of, I think it was 45,000 that were studied, versus the weekday. Now, that's a real effect, guys. And again, it fits intuitively with what our healthcare elephant says about weekends, which is they're more dangerous. We're understaffed. It's a skeleton crew. We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Now, this all being said, the British Medical Journal said, let's look at this carefully. And this is what they found looking at some data. they looked at let's go through this carefully. So they looked at one study from BMJ that looked at a population based on a stroke register in Great Britain and patients admitted to the hospital with stroke, okay? And the idea was that they were looking at stroke because it's a condition that you need specialist management in the acute stage. If you do the right thing, whether it's TPA or interventional radiology intervention, you can actually save lives and improve survival, right? And it's time dependent and skill dependent and volume dependent. So it turns out in this study, they saw that there was a weekend effect, but when you looked at, in other words, there was worse outcomes on the weekend, but when you look at the data carefully, it turns out only 3/4 of the new strokes that they were identifying from the data were actually new. And there was a third of them that were incorrectly coded. They were actually old strokes that were being evaluated in the hospital again. And those tended to happen during the weekdays. So think about how that skews the data. And the part of the reason I'm doing this live cast is I want you guys to be able to critically look at literature and ask really tough questions. Like, what could be happening that could make this less cut and dry? Because the press feeds us a bunch of bullshit every single day about studies. They don't do that critical look because they can't. It's very, very hard, right? It's hard even for scientists to do it. So I'm gonna try to personally and with the tribe acquire that skill set. So think about why that might mess up our data. If we're incorrectly coding new strokes versus old strokes, and more of the old strokes are being seen on the weekdays, and they're finding an effect where more patients are dying on the weekends, well, could that be because we're in artificially enriching the number of strokes in the weekdays and thinking they're new strokes, but they're actually old? Old strokes are more stable, they're less likely to die. So artifact number one, we're measuring stroke wrong, and therefore we're seeing a difference when in fact there may be no difference, or there may be the opposite difference than what you think. Okay, that's one great way to look at data through a different set of eyes and see if you've made mistakes, because we all know what's coded in Epic or coded in the EMR or written down often is wrong because it's copy-paste or it's boilerplate or some intern put it in wrong, and that's the July effect, which is coming up. That's another live cast. Stay tuned for that. All right, so that being said, they continue to look at the data. And they found, so that was a sort of case mix bias. So in other words, you're getting sicker patients that are being looked at on the weekend and less sick patients during the week. And let's see what else they saw here. So when they looked at the analysis, actually limiting the patients to only new strokes, they found no difference. So they did go back and redo that study, looking at the data again. And so there you go. Now, the next thing they saw was that they were trying to show a correlation between the number of residents working on the weekend and outcomes. And what they found is, you know, there was so much bias in the data that they couldn't make a conclusion that putting more residents on the weekend made things any better. Then they looked at something else. They looked at, what do we got here? They found that, hang on, the threshold for admitting patients on the weekend was higher than during the week. Isn't that interesting? So if it was a weekday, it seemed like the emergency department or the hospitalist or whoever was involved had a lower threshold. Just go ahead and admit them. I know the specialists are here tomorrow. I know they're here tonight. I know we can do a bunch of stuff. Let's just bring them in. So maybe patients who are less sick are getting admitted to the hospital, whereas on the weekend, there's a higher threshold. Let's wait until Monday. Let's have him see his PCP or his neurologist on Monday. Push off the less sick patients. And so you're enriching the number of admissions on the weekend with the sicker patients, which means that if you look at mortality, well, yeah, the sicker patients are more likely to die. But if you control for that data, you're going to see, again, no difference. Now, Sarah Taylor asked about July effect. July effect is the purported effect of the new interns and residents that come on service in July. And the theory is that they have worse outcomes and patients more likely to die and more complications and more readmissions. And we'll talk about that in another cast, because a lot of times what our intuitive gut says about outcomes or what we empirically notice in the hospital is actually not borne out when you carefully look at data. And a lot of times it's paradoxical. The opposite of what we think happens. And then we have to find the explanation for why we missed that piece of data. What truth are we missing? And we often learn something really profound when we do that. And that's the magic, guys, of evidence-based medicine. Now, basically, so a question with the weekend effect now is you can look at a lot of different data. You will find a study that supports your confirmation bias. If you think the weekend effect doesn't actually exist, you can find plenty of errors in data to back up your opinion. If you think the weekend effect is solid and exists, you will find plenty of data to back up your opinion. What we have to do is look at all that area under the curve with the tools of evidence-based medicine to actually find out what's the truth. And then the question is, what do you do about it? Do you staff up nurses on the weekend? Do you have doctors come in on the weekend? This is very expensive. So the question then we have to ask is, let's say the weekend effect is real. How many lives are lost due to the weekend effect? And is it worth the money you would spend and the disruption in people's lives to actually staff up enough to prevent those lives from being lost? Now, it sounds like a cold-hearted, horrible question for somebody who would ration healthcare like that. But guess what? We ration healthcare now. That's why we're even questioning the weekend effect, because we don't staff every single day the same. We ration healthcare now because we don't have unlimited resources, unlimited manpower, unlimited money, unlimited technology, unlimited blood in the blood bank. We ration healthcare now. Anyone who denies that is expressing some political bias or is deluding themselves. So that being said, we then have to have the tough conversations. Is it worth the money? All right. Now, that being said, I want to fill you guys in on one thing before we look at comments. This idea that if there is no weekend effect, in other words, if it's a wash, could it be that that's because we do less procedures on the weekend, and less procedures sometimes is a good thing? Now, again, you can find data to support either end of this argument, the less is more argument. But here's the most interesting one that came up in the last, it was December of 2014. And the study was in JAMA Internal Medicine, and it was a fascinating study because this is what they did. Here's another hypothesis that people had based on empirical speculation and first principles. They said, there are big cardiology conferences during the year where almost every academic high-ranking cardiologist based on seniority goes to these things. And that's the American College of Cardiology annual meeting and the American Heart Association annual meeting. Now, when those things happen, all the big attendings are out of town. They're at this meeting concentrated. So if ISIS wanted to attack our cardiologists, they could do that. It would be a bad idea for the reasons that I'm about to say, if they're trying to cause harm to us. Because what they found is when these guys are gone, outcomes for the sickest, frailest patients improved. There was a trend to less mortality. And more robust patients, and they looked at heart failure, cardiac arrest, and acute myocardial infarction, heart attacks. Those findings, they found that for more robust patients, it was a wash. They weren't any worse off. So what? How is it that our most experienced doctors and in academic environments, and it was mostly in academic environments, that's where they saw this effect. It wasn't pronounced in community environments, if I'm correct, if I'm remembering this data correctly. And so what it kind of implies is that, and the theory was that on these times when the main cardiologists are gone, the covering cardiologists don't want to do aggressive procedures on these patients, like interventional, you know, cath and things like that. So they're more conservative, medical management, conservative management, etc. And for the most frail patients, they might benefit from this conservative management because the serious interventions can cause complications and harm. Again, New England Journal of Duh. Now, it's hard to actually tease that out because nobody really understands. They looked at death rates in the hospital or within 30 days of leaving. And that was during the 3 weeks before the conference or 3 weeks after. So it was a kind of a pre-post study. And 18% of high-risk patients with heart failure, where the muscle, you know, you got a bad ejection fraction, they died on the conference days, while 25% died on the non-conference days. So that was a statistically significant difference. More people dying when the fancy docs are in town, and presumably more procedures and all that are happening. So the hypotheses that they had was that, you know, maybe there are fewer patients undergoing these procedures. And so, well, actually, here was one theory they had, that there are fewer elective procedures when the cardiologists are out of town, which means they're only doing emergencies, which means the docs that are left can focus on the emergencies without worrying about clinic and elective procedures. So that's certainly one potential possibility. But when they looked at it, they found no decrease in the number of admissions during conference days. So the number of admissions was constant. So it really shouldn't be, unless there's outpatient stuff that was attenuated and not distracting them. They also found no difference in the general health of patients hospitalized on the meeting days versus those admitted on the non-meeting days. So again, they kind of controlled for that. Now, the other theory that they had, apart from the fact that they're not getting caths and all that, which is my theory, I mean, that's what most resonates with me. Again, you'd have to look at the data because this is just a theory. It's a hypothesis. Is that the doctors who leave are primarily researchers and they don't take care of as many patients. They don't do as much procedure. And so they're worse doctors. So that's entirely possible. We've all seen that effect, the sort of rounding researcher who comes in like a god, but really doesn't know what the hell they're doing. We see this in academic environments all the time. They pontificate, they're stuck probably 10 years behind, and then they're in the lab doing their cutting edge research on that one thing that they do. But everything else is kind of a mess. Now, here's an interesting piece they found. 21% received angioplasties or stents when the conferences were going on, and that was less than the 28% who received them at the other times. And so it seems like, at the very least, you could maybe propose, and you'd have to study this, that patients are no worse off and, in fact, maybe better off by having less stents. Now, this is something that we're going to have another whole episode on, and we're going to get some cardiologists on the show, and we're going to debate this. Because to me, this is one of the seminal questions of modern internal medicine and cardiology is, do we overstent people and does it cause harm? Boom. Simple as that. We ought to be preventing these stents, guys. That's the bottom line. Let's read some comments. I'm going to close my laptop here and take a look. Amanda Glennon, Deb. Okay, hold on. That's answering. So I got to try to screen these here. Let's see. It's a lot of people answering each other. Ah, Misty Blue. Always amazes me when the interventional docs go on vacation and suddenly the cath lab is slow. So patients suddenly didn't need these procedures. That's the thing, right? They may not. You'd have to look at outcomes. And I would argue maybe based on this data, the outcomes are better. Let's see. What do we got here? Tammy Fairchild, I work acute rehab as an admissions RN. It's the worst trying to transfer a patient pending insurance approval. Many insurance companies putz on giving approval in order to send patients to SNF on the weekend. So it's true. Getting a patient to a skilled nursing on the weekend is impossible, which means more days in the hospital, which means more complications, which means potentially more harm. I've seen it happen. I've seen patients end up with C. diff. Of course, they can get it in the SNF as well. End up with an error, something happening like that. What do we got here? I'm going to go through these comments after the fact because it's really hard to read them on my phone. Let's see. Pauline Fonseca. I work in observation and we get very sick people. Totally not appropriate for the OBS unit. No choice sometimes because there's no beds on other floors. Yeah, so OBS versus inpatient is a whole nother discussion. We don't have near enough staff available on the weekends in OB, says Susan Goebel. Physicians are not in the house at our small hospital and neither is anesthesia. I mean, so this is the thing. We all know who work in hospitals, especially rural hospitals. You can't get a homie in the hospital. You can't get a specialist. You can't get anesthesia. It's very hard. You have to call in an ultrasound tech. It's like a big deal. So a lot of times we tend to err on not doing stuff. And the question is, does that make outcomes worse or better? Here's my final parting thoughts. I think it really depends on the illness. I think if you study and stratify by illness, acute aortic dissection versus congestive heart failure. Congestive heart failure, you might be able to manage very conservatively, and you don't need a big staff and all of that. And then again, maybe not. So you have to look at these individual things. Now, if we had a perfect AI computer that could crunch tons of data from every EHR in the country, and eventually we're going to get there, it could tell us, here's the trends that I see, and this is what I think is going on, and therefore here are practice improvements that we could do in terms of staffing at just the right times, like almost like how Uber does surge pricing. We could have surge staffing. Like, we definitely need people in the hospital at these hours. This is when people tend to die of heart attacks. Mondays, people have heart attacks. Wednesdays, people are more likely to commit suicide. That was a comment that was left earlier on in response to the article. So there are patterns that we can see. And if we're really good, the best tools of health 2.0, this sort of computerized intelligence, can apply to health 3.0 and help us actually take care of patients better while focusing on the human relationship that makes it dope AF and makes it actually work. The analog turntable health relationship at the heart of it all. All right, guys, I'm going to look through your comments later. One other thing I want you guys to do, go to shop.zdogmd.com, buy some health 3.0 gear because we're going to close that shop pretty soon. So I want to move some of that gear out, get into people's hands, spreading the word about 3.0. It's graduation season. Give it to a nurse or a doc or someone you love that's graduating, and that'll be dope. And the second thing is, join us for Against Medical Advice tomorrow in my now fully plumbing functional home studio. And what else did I want to tell y'all? That's it. I love you guys, Z-Pack. I'm going to look through your comments a little later. And we out. Hit share, please. Spread the word. Evidence-based medicine. Peace.